Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me on the phone this morning is Ryan Wisweiser of two incredible value-added Alaska businesses, Chugach Chocolates and Alaska Artisanal. Man, that was a mouthful of a lot of words, Ryan. Did I say it all correctly?
You got it. Great job.
Okay, perfect.
Great
well, job, Amy. thanks for joining me. I was excited to have you on the show. I think that first I would like to talk about Alaska Artisanal, and then we'll talk more about the chocolate company, being that coming up in a couple weeks is a big holiday where many people like to enjoy chocolate. So I wanted to be sure and get you on the show leading up to that. But Ryan, as I start all of my shows, I love to challenge my guests to tell us a little bit about themselves, their connection to Alaska, how you got here, and then your connection, because this is Ag Matters, your connection to Alaska agriculture, and maybe tie that into to your two companies. So what can you tell us?
Sure. Well, I guess my connection to agriculture, growing up, I grew up in Southeast Pennsylvania and Central Michigan. My father was actually in agriculture. So while not growing up on a farm, I've spent a lot of time around farms. And as far, I moved to Alaska about 6 years ago. I kind of took a different route with my father. I went into finance originally, worked for a public accounting firm, and then visited Alaska on a winter trip, really loved it, and decided to move out and wanted to do some entrepreneurship, and seemed like a great place to do that. So my wife and I quit my corporate job. My wife and I packed up our car, did the road trip, and came on out. And the one thing we realized after getting out here was that we were spending a lot of time going to different places just trying to find cool foods to send back to people. We were, for birthdays, holidays, all sorts of things.
And yeah.
Kind of dawned on us, hey, maybe we should do this ourselves, and this could be actually a good business. So that's what Alaska Artisanal is. And that was kind of the start of it, which was us just finding cool small batch foods around the state that we really liked, and then just putting them together. We kind of added the value add was, we include free shipping on all our stuff. We're an e-commerce business, so we're all online, so we kind of have the convenience part of it that we tried to build into it.
Yeah. Well, I love it. I'm a huge fan of Alaska Artisanal. As a import to Alaska myself, I love to share this state with friends and family outside. So I have used your Alaska Artisanal boxes as Christmas gifts the last couple of years.
You haven't. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah. And my friends and family that receive them love them. So let's talk a little bit more about the details. What, where can people go to find more about Alaska Artisanal? Tell us what your website is.
Sure. So it's alaskaartisanal.com. And we are, as I mentioned, we are an e-commerce company, so we're just online. We don't have a retail shop. We've, instead of trying to do a retail store, we've taken that and put it into the free shipping, or shipping included with all of our products. We are, we have more products in the holidays. Obviously, it's kind of a busier time of year for us as it is with most e-commerce firms. But our website's up. We're up and around all year, and we're always trying to add new things. People have ideas of things that they want to see, too. We also, good amount of, nice thing about the internet is there's maybe sometimes too much, but there you can put lots of information up there and find lots of information. So we have information about, the different food producers that we use and a bit about them, and we link to their sites and everything as well. So, we're partly just, we really like Alaskan foods and we really like the products that we use. And, even if you don't buy from us, we hope that you, we hope that people will go out and buy and support those other food producers that we support too.
Yeah, get introduced to new companies, et cetera. That's great. So there's a wide range of kind of pre-made boxes available, right? That if you have it in your mind, well, hey, I want to spend $50 on Uncle Joe and send him a birthday present. You guys have already kind of pre-packaged the boxes at different values. Is that correct?
Right, exactly. We go from about $25 or $28 is our original or lowest price item, and then we go up to almost $200 is our highest, and we have lots of stuff in between. And we try to do it, as I mentioned before too, we're trying to make it really easy for people to send Alaskan food. So we're trying to make a convenience factor, so we have them kind of pre-aligned, and which makes it a lot easier for the shipping and to be able to include the shipping on it as well. And then it also allows us to be somewhat thematic. So we have, you know, a brunch box, and we have a variety box that has like a lot of, you know, quite a, you know, a larger quantity, a larger number of variety of things, just in smaller sizes, and some other thematic boxes like that.
Yeah. So obviously I come at this from the agriculture angle, and I love that you are using a number of different Alaska grown companies that are utilizing products grown and harvested here in the state. So kind of an unfair question, but I expect you'll be able to answer it. Can you tell us specifically about some of the companies that whose products you're highlighting? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. So with specifically agriculture products, so farm products, we use quite a bit of Alaska Flower Company products. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with those.
Yeah.
So we, you know, pancake mix their barley flour and things. We use a company as well that not as many people I think have heard about, but they're called Alaska Berries. They're down in Soldotna, so they're the only commercial berry farm in the state, as far as I know. So we use their jams, and they have a lot of some other berry products that we use. Alaska Heavenly Honey, they're honey producer, obviously. They're out in the, I think in Willow, the Willow area. I know they have a couple of locations that I work from. Alaska Botanical Herbs and Teas, they're down at Homer. They, you know, they blend with black teas, obviously not, grown in the state of Alaska, but they also grow some of their own, and they forage, some things for their mixtures as well. And then, you know, some other, indirectly, you know, Alaska Trip Company, they don't grow anything, obviously, but they use Alaskan potatoes.
They do.
And then we use Bridge Creek down Homer, who's a birch syrup producer.
Right.
And they're actually interesting because they, as far as I understand, they don't have their own land. They actually just use land from, know people who have trees on land, and they'll tap their trees and pay them for it or give them syrup or whatnot.
Yeah.
So a lot of good mix of things, I think.
Yeah, a great variety. And then, so in addition to those kind of more Alaska-grown products, there's also, I remember seeing like some salmon jerkies and some other like seafood highlights, right?
Yep, exactly. We have salmon from Wasilla, from Alaska smoked salmon. And then we have True Guest Chocolates in there as well, which is my other company, obviously. And then, yeah, some other products as well. Some biscotti from Palmer from...
is it Tonya's? Tonya's biscotti?
Nope, it's from Turkey Red. Sorry,
oh, yeah.
In there for a second.
Very good.
Yep.
Yeah. I love it. What products, Ryan, if you could use a little magic wand, what kind of products are you looking for? Are you actively seeking new businesses?
Yeah, we are, and we're always looking for new stuff. And, you know, it's interesting being in this business and just kind of seeing what, you know, what kind of resonates with people and what doesn't. I think, you know, we certainly, from what we gather of our customer base, we have a large majority of people that purchase from us are Alaskans, and they're typically sending them back to, you know, friends and family outside.
Yeah.
And they kind of want a certain, you know, thing that's, feels Alaskan, you know, like salmon and those sorts of things. So, you know, that's, I guess when we think about it, it's certainly harder to, sell kind of, we're selling artisanal food. So that kind of speaks to like a higher quality of product and something that people are then therefore like be willing to pay a little bit more for. So we certainly look for brands and for companies that are making products like that, you know, people would be willing to spend a little bit more for. It's not just your kind of commoditized food. People are been, you know, making a decision much more based on price.
Yeah, makes good sense. Well, a quick interruption to remind listeners that this is Ag Matters Radio. If you're just tuning in, I'm the host, Amy Pettit, and joining me today is Ryan Wisweiser, and we have been talking about one of his companies, Alaska Artisanal. And Ryan, let's just jump into company number two. I had the privilege of meeting you when we were both on the Alaska Food Policy Council Governing Board. And at one of the meetings, you brought some delicious chocolates from your company, Chugach Chocolates, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. So tell us about that. Who knew that, number one, that there's chocolate bars being made here in Alaska, but tell us about how long you've been doing that and what inspired you to start making chocolate.
Sure. Well, it's one of those, you know, sometimes serendipity happens, I guess. I never intended to go to be owning and running a chocolate company, but that's kind of how things happen sometimes. But we, you know, Chugach Chocolates has been around for about 5 years. Alaska Artisanal was one of their biggest customers. It was started by two brothers down in Girdwood, and they were running it. And they eventually decided that they, you know, weren't going to be able to run the business anymore. So instead of kind of seeing it go by the wayside, my wife and I ended up purchasing it.
Oh, okay.
You know, since we also didn't want to see it, the products be stopped from Alaska Artisanal perspective. So it wasn't necessarily an intended thing, but it kind of happened. And then we purchased it about 2 years ago. And since then we've done some repackaging and rebranding for it, changed the products around a little bit. And we're, you know, you had mentioned the chocolate bar that you had. I think that might have been our Pink Himalayan, which is kind of one that we've had around a few years. And now we're kind of focused on doing chocolate bars with Alaskan flavors. So we have a birch toffee bar that's made with Birch Creek birch syrup down in Homer. There's Alaska Saltworks who pull water from Whittier and around Prince William Sound and make a salt out of it. So we use their salt for a salted chocolate bar. And then we have an espresso bean bar that we use black cup coffee for as well. So kind of transitioning now to do more of chocolates with specializing kind of in Alaskan flavors.
Yeah, I love it. And they are delicious. So that's, again, Chugach Chocolates. And what's the website for that company, Ryan?
And so that is ChugachChocolates.com.
Okay. And
Chugach, like the mountain range. Sometimes we get confused with Chugach, the town.
I'm glad you pointed that out because I think many non-Alaskans hear Chugach and Chugach, and they kind of hear the same thing, but there is a difference, and this is Chugach, right?
Yep. And we should have a contest. Say that 5 times fast.
Right. Well, between your last name and then the two company names, we could get some real tongue twisters going.
We didn't do it on purpose, but we have some alliteration going. We have Alaska Artisanal and Chugach Chocolates.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I love it. Yeah. Okay, so if I, as a customer, am thinking about that holidays that surrounds chocolate that's about 2 weeks out, and I want to get my hands on some Chugach chocolates, where can I find them?
Yeah, so we have various retail partners around the state that sell them, and we're adding more every week as well. So on our website, ChugachChocolates.com, people can find whatever location's closest, or there's a long list of locations based on where they are.
Okay.
Or feel free if people, there's also a contact us form on the website, so if people want to find it or want to specific bar that they want to grab, let us know or get in touch with us, and we can tell you where might be a good option that might have it in stock for them.
Okay. So can we purchase online then, or are we just able to purchase through the retail outlets?
Yep, you are able to purchase online. Alaska Artisanal actually sells them in packages of 4 and 12 too, with the shipping included too.
Okay, very good. So if you just want to send somebody some delicious chocolates for that holiday next week or in 2 weeks, you can do that too.
Yep, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, very good. So you mentioned that you're adding some Alaskan flavors to these chocolate bars, but talk to us a little bit about the process of making the chocolate bar itself, because obviously cocoa, or the main ingredient, I'm assuming, is not available here in Alaska. So walk us through that process.
Right. Yeah, so cacao, obviously, only similar to coffee, only grown in tropical regions. So they're kind of in that, you know, Tropic of Cancer, Tropic of Capricorn belt. A little side note, cacao, I know sometimes people can get confused, the difference between cacao and cocoa. Cacao is actually part of the tree, so anything that's part of the actual tree, so cacao beans are referred to as cacao. Anything that's a product of that tree is then called cocoa or chocolate.
Okay, the things you learn on Ag Matters Radio.
That's right, yeah, there you go. And so from there, you know, what we do is chocolate is an interesting product because it is unlike a lot of things, it it changes very significantly by temperature.
Okay.
And so it's somewhat of a fluid. So obviously everybody's familiar with a hard chocolate bar. But depending on what temperature the chocolate bar is, it can come in various forms. So it can actually be, if you've ever seen it, kind of a white chocolate bar, that's the cocoa butter. But if it chocolate dries at a certain or cools at a certain point, the cocoa butter can go to the top. It's called being cocoa bloom. So if you ever see a chocolate bar, like if you have a Snickers or a chocolate bar that you've had on your windshield in the summertime and it melts and then comes back out again, that's what's called chocolate bloom.
Okay.
What that is the chocolate bar is coming out of temper. So we will take chocolate and process it and temper it to make sure that, you know, you get that clear, crisp snap to it. And basically that's a process of making sure, really closely monitoring what the temperatures are and basically taking it up in temperature and then back down. I don't know if, you know, some people may have done this at home for baking recipes and things. When, if you want to get that clear shine to a chocolate, you have to bring it up in temperature and bring it back down. I could probably go into another whole show about the science behind chocolate, but I'll save that for another one. And then we typically, we follow our recipes as far as production-wise to make, you know, whichever chocolate bar that we're making, and then we pour it and form it and use hand tools to cut it and decorate it and things. So every bar is kind of unique. And I don't think it would be really hard, I think, to get two bars that were exactly the same.
Okay.
Then, you know, when we do our product development, we are very careful with, you know, ratios and how much we use of certain things. And so we try to make sure that we are flavoring things just right to get like that good, you know, you kind of, just like good cooking, just like, you know, any type of good food, you kind of want the right balance of different things to kind of get that right pop. So we'll do that, especially with, you know, birch, depending on how much birch we put in and how much toffee to chocolate ratio and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Sounds like you need a panel of taste testers. Are you looking for people for that?
Yeah, we'll certainly let you know. Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned the Alaskan salt and the Alaskan birch. And then what was the other kind of Alaskan flavor that you mentioned?
And then we have a black cup.
Oh, yeah.
Espresso bean bar.
Yeah. And so are those your three primary flavors?
Yep. Those are, we only have four products right now, and those are, there's those three and then a pink Himalayan salted chocolate bar as well.
A pink
those
Himalayan.
Are our four flavors we have.
Okay.
Now.
And what's on the horizon? What flavors are you exploring with right now?
Well, we're working on a few things. We're actually working with Alaska Chip Company to see if we can do an Alaska potato chip.
Oh,
chocolate
I
bar.
Love it. Awesome.
Which is, we've done some product development on that, and that's turned out really good. It's really nice because, you know, chocolate and water are kind of like oil and water. They don't really get along together, so chocolate doesn't have any water content in it.
Okay.
You know, when you first think of, like, putting chips in chocolate, you think, well, wouldn't they get mushy? But since chocolate doesn't actually have any water in it, it actually preserves it pretty well, so you still get that crunch out of it. And then obviously... potato chips have kind of a saltiness to them, so they kind of add some salt to the chocolate as well. And so we're working with that right now. We're pretty excited about that because that would be another really, really fun and good product.
Yeah.
Another one we're working on that we've had in the test kitchen in the last little bit is working with some kelp and cayenne, so kelp from Barnacle Foods.
Oh, good.
Down in southeast Alaska.
Yeah.
So we're working through that. I think we'll have something there potentially as well.
I'm not as excited about kelp and chocolate as I am about potato chips and chocolate. I'm just going to be honest with you.
That's good to know.
I'm one of those people that will try anything a couple of times. Like, I would be happy to try it, but I don't know. Potato chips and chocolate just is a little more appealing.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, the kelp we had to, you know, we knew it was going to be a little bit of a challenge because, you know, kelp and chocolate don't necessarily sound appealing together. That's kind of why we put the cayenne in as well.
Okay.
Kind of, and you have the kelp has a little bit of saltiness and a little bit of, like, you know, earthiness.
Yeah.
As seaweed would, but not overpowering by any means.
Sure.
And the cayenne adds a little heat, and then you have the chocolate, so you kind of have those flavors that play off each other pretty well. We had to work with the ratios, and we're still kind of working that out right now.
Okay.
Because we really want, you know, we're kind of of the mindset we don't really like putting something out unless it's going to taste really good. Like, people are going to be wowed by it. So we're still working on that one. But
okay. Well, another reminder, if you're just joining us, that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. And this morning we are talking about Chugach Chocolates and Alaska Artisanal with the owner of both these companies, Ryan Wisweiser. So, oh man, a chocolate bar with Alaskan kelp and cayenne in it. Like I said, I would be willing to try it. But
Is there anything come to mind that you'd want to see?
Well, I can think of a couple. Like, I like to try these unique chocolate bars that I see around town every once in a while, and I'm a sucker for bacon. So if you can, if you can get bacon in one of your bars, I know a couple of Alaska-grown bacon producers that I could connect you with.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
Yeah, and then the other one, you mentioned cayenne. I was also thinking of hot peppers or jalapenos and chocolate. I always like a little spice in my chocolate, too. The folks at Spring Creek Farm, Megan and Joshua, they are kind of known for some of the hot peppers that they've been growing. They're both from the lower 48, and so they've been experimenting with different ghost peppers. And I think actually Anchorage Distillery was using some of their peppers in one of their vodkas. But anyway, so there are some hot peppers around, too, if you're interested.
Okay, yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Things that can be added to...
I'm writing this down now.
Yeah. So, Ryan, where is all of this...
The Ag Matters chocolate bar special. This is going to be good.
Yeah, well, maybe on a future show we can have a live taste testing of the chocolate bars. We can do that live on the radio.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So, Ryan, where is all this happening? Where is this delicious chocolate being made? Where is your company located?
So we were for a long time, for a few years, we were down in Girdwood. I personally live down there as well, but Girdwood's a little tough from a commercial leasing perspective.
Sure, not a lot of availability.
Yeah, it was a little tough finding. We were definitely running out of space and we needed something bigger, and we weren't able to find something down there. So we're temporarily in Anchorage. We hope to get back to Girdwood, but, we had to make the decision of, getting some more space.
Yeah.
So we're currently in, currently in Midtown Anchorage.
Okay. Very good. And I just can't help but think that, I know that you have you mentioned previously, and I know this again from the Food Policy Council, that you're a numbers guy. You come from that kind of finance and accounting background. And so the Alaska artisanal business kind of makes sense. You recognize the value and the, ability to make money off of that business. But chocolate making seems like a stretch outside your comfort zone. So I assume you learned from the guys that started the business, but have you traveled outside to learn more about chocolate making, or how are you expanding your knowledge in this arena?
Yeah, good question. I was taught by the former owners. I've done a lot of self-education, so to say, and there's lots of trainings and things out, especially in Belgium and Europe, which would be great to go to, hopefully, someday, and lots of chocolate tastings and things out there as well that I try to be a part of.
Yeah.
So it's kind of how we're growing. It's interesting being owning a couple businesses now, and having previously, as I mentioned, been, as a public accountant, CPA. To start my career and worked in investment management for a while. And it's kind of interesting coming now and having been part of very corporate jobs before, running my own businesses, and just kind of what you take from that previous life. And, for me, even running a chocolate company, being able to do, price things out and, do some of the production calculations and things of what we might need, or making sure we're on task for production and keeping our retail partners supplied, kind of comes from that old corporate, some of my previous history, or previous job experiences, I guess. And it's interesting what you learn from it. I've never really done much with like a marketing or a sales, background. And I'm sure, it's kind of across all industries. So although, I'm talking about this specifically for my businesses, but I think this would, probably matters in agriculture. I'm sure it matters in the agriculture world too.
Yeah.
It is interesting, how much I was overly focused to a certain extent on some of the stuff I was familiar with and underly focused to, on those things that I wasn't familiar with. And,
sure.
Owning your own business, you kind of have to look at, you're kind of in charge of, I guess, everything, right?
So, yeah.
was an interesting, certainly interesting transition.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Ryan, if you could use your crystal ball, this is another question that I always want to get out of my guests. If you had a magic crystal ball and you could look into the future 5 years with Chugach Chocolates, what do you hope it looks like? Or what's your goal for that business? Where do you hope to be?
Good question. I'm hoping we can continue to expand our product lines and really become a really great, Alaska is seeing a lot of like food, you know, artisanal at the risk of using a name that's already in one of my companies, foods that are out there. With beer and coffee and all sorts of small craft foods that people are making and enjoying, I think we really want to be a part of that. We want to help, the Alaskan, the state and provide that outlet for people of like a cool chocolate company that does lots of cool flavors and lots of cool things, and people really enjoy their products and, interacting with us and things.
Yeah. That brings up a question, and forgive me for not knowing this, but in that chocolate bar then, if you wanted that product to qualify as a certified Alaska-grown item, like, what is it, 75 or 80% of the ingredients have to be Alaskan if they're available. Since Alaska-grown chocolate is not available, then you kind of go to the next item on the ingredient list. So for those products or those product lines where you're using Alaskan ingredients, have you thought about getting them certified Alaska-grown?
No, we haven't, but that's an interesting point.
Yeah, I just know, like, with the jams and jellies, like, 50% of the ingredient is, like, the pectin and the sugar, and so you kind of remove that from the ingredient list and then look at what else is included, and it's Alaska-grown berries, right? And so then those products are allowed to be called Alaska-grown for that reason. So it just kind of popped into my head.
No, that's good. I'd never thought about it from that perspective before, honestly.
Yeah.
Seeing if we can get a greenhouse or a hoop house and growing some cacao beans and seeing how it works. But
hey, why not?
I have a feeling that would be pretty tough, but maybe.
You know who you should...
Like, sloped, kind of like coffee where they like sloped areas too.
Oh, okay.
Alaska has that, certainly.
Mike Mosession at Bell's Nursery is successfully growing wine grapes in greenhouses in Anchorage. So he would probably be the guy that could do it, huh? I hope to get Mike on a future show. The other thought that I'm having is availability of cacao, like long term. Is this something that you're comfortable with, the world market and the way things work, like having a business that's, that's tied to a product that has to be imported? Like, how's the outlook for that?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question, too, because obviously, thinking about the things that we can't control, that's certainly really one right on the top of the list. Cacao has been around for a long time. There's certainly in the news been a lot of talk about, is the current demand and production sustainable, especially, in the agricultural world. Obviously, a lot of people are familiar with, plants getting diseases and things not growing and, changing climates and changing environments. So it's certainly a concern. I think we're a pretty small chocolate shop. There's a lot of, I think if anything happened, that the more restrictive it came, the more it probably benefit chocolate shops like us, just because, it means that you do need to do a little bit more of a quality or a little more labor intensive product, which is what we do, or a little more refined product maybe is the right word.
Yeah.
And so that might, actually benefit us potentially in the short term, but certainly in the long term, it's also, it's certainly a concern, but it's kind of the same concern with a lot of products out there too.
Yeah. Good things to be thinking about. Well, Ryan, it's been a pleasure having you on Ag Matters Radio this morning, chatting about our Alaska artisanal and Chugach chocolates. Thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to trying those chocolate bars with Alaska-grown potato chips in them.
Okay, thanks very much. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, have a great day.
Thanks, and you too.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.